Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bex, I'm an addict. Oh, that's really loud. Okay. My head's really busy, and whenever anyone else I know is doing a chat, I'm like, oh, it's, you know, just stay cool, breathe, pick a topic, experience strength and hope. You know, it's your story, it's fine. But my head's really busy, and I haven't settled on any kind of topic. But today, I guess I can understand that I've learned to understand that my disease is fear-based. And if I can trust that I'm going to be all right and believe that I'm not alone, then actually everything is all right and I'm already starting to feel better, so that's good. I do volunteering for the Amy Winehouse Foundation at the moment, and I went to a training day on body image, and it was explained to us that from 0 to 7 years old is when you're absorbing all your information, and your core beliefs are set within that time period. And I guess that kind of leads me to kind of growing up and the kind of core messages that I got. My parents divorced when I was 3 months old. My mum was being beaten by my dad when she was pregnant by me. My dad had lots of issues. He was he was a bully and a control, control freak, a really big shamer. And rager. He drank and functioned. So as a child, there was a lot of fear when we went to his, when we went to stay with him. My mom was very loving, but she worked very hard. She was kind of a work hard, play hard, bohemian character who kind of coined phrases like, it doesn't matter what you do, darling, it's whether you get caught or not. And I kind of carried a lot of that stuff with me. But fear of my surroundings, money was quite tight when we were growing up. I remember being terrified hiding under the stairs with my mum's hand clamped over my mouth because the bailiffs were knocking at the door. And she tried to make it into a game, but you know, you could see her. I felt her fear, and I felt afraid. And I guess a lot of the time I was desperate to please, and trying to, as a child, control the environments that I was in. And I developed a lot of my kind of masks at that stage, whether it was lying or being permanently happy. Escapism through kind of fantasy, and yeah, it just kind of set the pathway for who I am, or who I became in my kind of obsessive compulsive addiction. You know, obviously my head's really busy, but I ultimately want to make it a message of hope, because I know that when I came in, I was totally fucking hopeless. I was broken, I was confused, I was in so much denial. And I can't really talk about my story without codependency, which I didn't believe I had, but I've since worked out that with a lot of help from you and intervention and counsellors and NA as a whole, that actually I'm not as independent as I thought I was. In my addiction and using, I was often heard saying things like, I don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks, but actually take away the drugs and the drink and I am crippled by fear around how everyone perceives me. Am I beautiful enough? Am I funny enough? Am I clever enough? Do I fit in? And so I've spent a lot of my life being a kind of chameleon, You know, always trying to please my father, who was never pleasable. My mum, as I said, was a hard-working party person. So again, it was lots of people around all the time, that kind of performing aspect in life. And I guess a kind of really mixed message bag of, you know, I need to work and be self-reliant, because money is definitely not forthcoming from anywhere else. And I was really good at getting jobs when I was high or under the influence of something. I managed to do a lot of things. I realized, I was thinking about it today, and I've done a lot of stuff that revolves around drugs, and all the fear of and anxiety around people and situations has just been eradicated through using. And you know, an example, when I was 15, I went to Glastonbury with my brother, and he completely lost it. He couldn't tell me his name, he couldn't get to the toilet. He's my older brother, he's 2 years older than me. I was 15, and he was a mess. And I was so terrified of taking him back to my mum in that state that we had to stay another 3 days until he could like walk and stuff. And I guess most people might have thought, okay, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that again. And I remember thinking, right, next time I'm having control of all the drugs. I'm gonna quality check, make sure I sell them at a good price, and everyone's gonna have a good time. And that was another part of my big codependency stuff was, and my self-worth was, you know, if I turned up at a party with the drugs, it was like, thanks, so high. But actually it wasn't about me, it was about the drugs. And that was another one of the big struggles I had coming into recovery, was who am I without all that stuff? I had trauma when I was 11. Me, my mum, and my brother went on holiday to Spain. We'd been there the year before. And I begged my mum to let me go out with my brother, who was then 13. And she said, okay, if I stayed with my brother. And as soon as we went out, he ditched me because I was the younger sister. And when I walked into a bar, nervous and unsure of myself, two English guys, 25 and 26 years old, bought me drinks, and it felt really good. The attention felt really good. I felt acceptable. I felt accepted. I felt drunk. I danced, and on the way back home, I was raped by them both, and my mum knew as soon as I got through the door, you know, my leggings and top, my matching leggings and top, floral. I mean, I couldn't have looked any kind of cuter and younger. It was pretty gross, really. All torn and bloodied, and it was traumatic. Going to the hospital was traumatic, and having people poke around, and all I remember feeling is terrible shame that it was my fault, and I'd enjoyed the attention, and I lied at the police station when they said what happened. I said I didn't remember, that I was too drunk. And so again, it kind of compounded that thing that if I deny it, it didn't happen. And I didn't talk about that again till I was 38 and coming into recovery for the first time. I'm 42 now. I've been trying to get recovery for almost 4 years, and it was really hard at the beginning. It was really hard. I couldn't talk about any of that stuff because my fear of admitting failure, shame, that I was struggling, that I needed help, was overwhelming. I guess it brought me to my knees in my addiction, but it also really made it difficult in my recovery. I really couldn't be honest. My first counselor, as I was leaving after 12 weeks, said, I'm really worried about you, Bex. I fear that you're constitutionally incapable of being honest with yourself or anybody else. And I knew what that meant, because I'd read the book and It was, and I was furious. I'd written a really intense step one. I'd been totally honest about all my stuff, but I'd also learned to detach from it and tell those stories in humorous anecdotes, because that meant I didn't have to feel the shame. If you laughed, I didn't have to feel the shame. So I had a million masks. At one point when I was ripping off one to think that I was revealing myself underneath, I'm like, here I am, only to realize that it was just another mask. And it made it really hard in early recovery to establish, thank you, establish a way forward, because what this program has taught me that with honesty, open-mindedness and willingness that it's possible. And I really struggled with the honesty. So 5 minutes, strength and hope. So yeah, when it came in, I was hopeless. I'd done all the things that I said I wouldn't do. So I functioned for a long time. I fell apart at 37, 38, and did everything that I said I wouldn't do. So even now, the fear of the shame of admitting some of the things that I've done, and I even know that I'm sitting in a room full of like hardcore addicts who've done some really like hardcore things, but the fear of kind of admitting those things sometimes is really overwhelming. But you know, they're the usual story of kind of stealing from people I love, stealing from people I don't know, you know, selling myself. Yeah, chronic self-harming, and then reducing myself to a point of sort of suicide, not being able to get recovery, not being able to use, and finally manipulated my partner into teaching me how to inject so that I could end it, which would have worked if he hadn't have robbed me of the last lot of drugs. So I'll put that on my step four, resentment. Saved my life, resentful. But actually, I'm really glad that he did, because I have so much less like than I had then. What I mean is I had a house. I'd also broken the law. I'd grown weed for 6 years in a six-bedroom house in Kent and imported quantities of heroin from India. So I had a house. I had a really great dysfunctional relationship, a car, and it wasn't making me happy. Inside, I was still broken. I was still full of shame, I'd made a lot of really bad choices, and I guess I was always going to end up here, but through finally starting to get honest, I was finally able to begin to trust that there was something bigger than me. You know, my self-reliance, like no one else is going to do it for you, you just got to do it, meant I was really quite cold and quite hard. I thought I was really happy-go-lucky and accepting, but actually I was quite calculating, controlled, manipulative. Not that I thought that at the time. I was like, what, me? And through doing this and talking to you guys being courageous, sharing your stuff, I was able to see myself. And it's been amazing. You know, I'm living in a shared dry house with six other people, lunatics that I love. And, you know, I don't have a car. I just managed to manipulate a guy into fixing my bike. And I'm living on like £277 a month with Universal Credit, but actually I'm really happy and I'm really grateful for all the, you know, I've got the trust back with my family. There was a moment where I was robbing my mum's house, breaking in, and I've got the telly in my arms and my family are coming back. I'm in the basement and I suddenly hear their voices and I freeze. I'm like 7.5 stone. I can fit through the bars, but the TV won't fit through the bars. I'm like, fuck. and everything's totally changed. I've got a key to the house, which is great because I've got loads of key rings now. It's working for me. I've rebuilt the relationship with my little sister. And I can generally deal with life and all the kind of funky stuff that it throws at me without feeling totally overwhelmed and needing to hide and change the way I feel. And I still battle with being acceptable and lovable, making decisions for me and getting rid of my dad's voice in my head that tells me I'm not good enough is still a kind of constant battle. But when I share it, it really does go away a little bit, and I get so much back. Am I at the end?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Okay. Just thank you so much for listening, for having me to share, and I really couldn't do it without all of you, so thank you very much.